Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each podcast, we'll be tackling questions that parents are asking about family life, parenting, work life, and so much more. So join us on this journey of discovery together.
Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is EJ and I am your host for this episode. When it comes to school decisions, it can be an emotional and highly personal choice. But what happens when our child struggles to fit in our local school system, where sometimes they find it that it's very difficult to fit or thrive in the system? Joining me today in our Parent Podcast is Galvin and Charmaine, parents to a 12-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. One of them is in a mainstream school, while the other is homeschooling. Later, we'll hear more from Galvin and Charmaine in this podcast sharing about their decision to embark on a homeschooling journey. So first of all, let me welcome both of them. Welcome to our Parent Podcast, Charmaine and Galvin.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's a joy to have both of you to come and share with us a little bit about yourself and your parenting journey. Maybe could I get both of you to kickstart this podcast to tell us a bit more about yourself and your family?
Galvin, I'm currently owner of an ice cream shop. And in my previous life, I was a parenting coach. Of course, married to Charmaine and happy father to Noah. Noah's our older one, 12 years old this year doing PSLE. And then Joy, who is 10 years old, and she's the one that we are homeschooling.
I'm Charmaine. I'm a former educator, now homeschooling mom. Co-owner of the ice cream shop. So we are exploring new frontiers together. Every day is an adventure, but we are thankful that we get to do it together.
Both of you are on a really exciting journey, as I can hear, and all our listeners can attest to it as well. You're a business owner, you are parent to a child taking PSLE, a very critical year, and of course, on a homeschooling journey. I mean, we have many listeners who are both working parents and juggling parenting at the same time. How has that been for you? Tiring? Difficult?
I think it's quite difficult for me because currently I'm still kind of bootstrapping it through the business and doing most of the things myself. That's where Charmaine came in, because initially when I first started, I really stayed on through the day and not having much time. Sometimes when I go home, my children have been asleep. But things are much better now. I managed to get some part-time staff to come in. And I think that's really what I cherish. It's kind of hard when you're doing your own business to achieve that kind of balance. But at least right now, I still get to get home, have meals together, have weekends together. So that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, I think what has been interesting for us is that if both parents work outside the home and they have different jobs, in a way they can keep work life and marriage separate. But for us, we choose to tackle everything at the same time. So as you can imagine, it was really quite a struggle at the start. But for now, what we found works for us is that even though we are involved in all parts of the pie, we know who is the owner. So for the business part, even though we are co-owners, I know that Galvin is the main driver. For the homeschooling part, the schooling part, I know that even though we are both involved, I am the driver. So I think that helps us to find a bit of clarity in what can be a very messy situation.
Thanks for sharing this from the onset, because I feel like parenting is really important where husband and wife works closely together to complement each other's effort. And I think this is a big encouragement also to all our listeners that we are all probably trying really to survive in our work, and we come back home, we are trying to make ends meet on the home front as well. But whichever journey we're on, I feel like the encouragement to all of us is that we want to make it work, want to make it work for family. We are all on this journey of learning, unlearning, relearning, growing together as well. Let's start off with hearing about your decision to homeschool your daughter in this case. Tell us a little bit more.
Earlier on, when we just began the podcast, there was this phrase about her struggling to fit into a mainstream school. So as a former educator, I think that terminology is familiar to me. Like, I would look at my class of 40 students and I would say, oh, you know, these 30 over are doing fine, and I have some who are struggling. But when I personally experienced this as a parent, I think there was some reframing for me. I realized that, hey, it's not that my daughter is struggling, but it's just that our school system is set up in a certain way. This way works well for most kids, maybe, but for some children, it just doesn't fit their needs, their preferences, and the way they were made to learn and grow and relate with others. for me, it's learning how to reframe that. It's about finding what works for the child. And eventually, it's not about whether the child's in school or in a pull-out class or going for enrichment or homeschooling. It's really about what does your child need at that point of time.
I'm curious to know, when it comes to the decision to homeschool your daughter, I understand that prior to that, your son went through the mainstream school. So when it came to deciding to homeschool your daughter, who initiated it within both of you?
Charmaine. What happened was, we do have very close friends who are homeschooling, and from time to time we would think about it, but we would just say, yeah, you know, you need lots of resources. I think back then, when I look at homeschooling, I said, if my children can work in a mainstream school, why not? For me, what happened was, when our girl, when she started P1, I really started to see her having struggles in terms of going to school. And as a parenting coach, I worked through all the different strategies and everything, applied to her, give her space. And at the end of the day, I find that, hey, why is it that she can't, in a sense, break through? Then that is where, I forgot how it happened, but we figured that perhaps we would want to send her for some checkup.
Assessment. Yeah.
Eventually, long story short, we found out that she had dyslexia. And then as we pieced things together, then we realized that, oh, actually, I think that's the reason why. Because in the past, you know, she has been trying very hard. She has that personality of wanting to do well in everything. So even when it comes to reading and everything, she would just lock, stock, barrel, memorize everything. So nobody knew that she had the issue until primary school. Because one thing I always teach parents, right? Primary schoolers, right? If you don't know how to read yet, at least copy down everything on the whiteboard, whatever the teacher is saying, whatever homework, right? Every time I come back, hey, how come whatever you're copying, I don't understand? You know? And basic words, I thought these words you would have learned in preschool. And then that's where we realized that perhaps we really need to find out more. So we found out that she has dyslexia, and we decided to send her for intervention. And eventually we saw her getting better in that aspect. I still see that she's finding it hard to, because of that lack, I find that it's very hard for her to catch up. And for her, someone, her personality, to want to do well and everything, right, then it becomes an added load, added stress for her.
You asked us how we, you know, make the decision to homeschool her. I mean, I think it's really interesting. Kelvin talked about the challenges Joy faced when she entered school. But for me, the journey began much, much earlier when I had Noah, my firstborn. That was 12 years ago. I was reading, you know, as a new mom, you want to do everything right. And I was just reading some spiritual devotional books. And there was this book that said, motherhood is a calling. So up to then, I had always thought of my calling as being a teacher. And then when you're married, to be a wife. But the moment I had my child, I knew that motherhood is also a calling. And it needs to rank pretty high, right? You know, among priorities. So I knew that motherhood was a calling. It was a role that was important. But at the same time, I had to work, earn money for the family together with Kelvin. And over the years, it was just at the back of my mind, you know, I need to make motherhood a priority. How do I do that amidst the challenges of life? So work-wise, we tried many configurations, part-time configurations, taking no pay leave. So I would say that the work environment in Singapore is supportive with all these different kinds of flexi work schemes. But things came to a head last year when the children were repeatedly falling ill, and even myself also falling ill. But last year, it reached a decision point, and I realized that rather than, you know, waiting to see how the children are doing, waiting to see the conditions, what coming up next, whether it's PSLE or, you know, instead of looking externally, it's time to return to my internal conviction. So at first, there was a discussion, oh, let's just try to apply and see if MOE approves, and then if they do, then I will make the arrangements. But then one day, I just had a moment of clarity. It's not about them. It's about me. If I think that this is important, I will make myself available. I will give this choice to them, the choice to be homeschooled. So both Noah and Joy were given the choice, not just Joy. It wasn't a narrative of, oh, this mainstream doesn't work for you, so come, let's do something else. It was never that. It was more of, okay, I've decided that spending time with you, both of you, is a priority. We want to have time to educate you and be with you in the family. So Mama has made a decision to put work aside for now, and therefore homeschooling is an option. Do you want to take it? So I think that was the choice that was given to both children. And to give them credit, they really took it very thoughtfully. Yeah, it wasn't a knee-jerk like, yay, you know, like, no more teachers, no more homework, no more. It wasn't that. They really took a long time to think through. They knew what the pros and cons were. I think even at their age, lah, how they can process. They knew maybe not seeing their friends as often. They knew for my son, especially at that, you know, tween kind of age, he knew it was about having mama around more often, having a bigger presence and monitoring presence in his life, you know. So I think they did think through a lot of aspects, but eventually one decided to be homeschooled and the other decided to stay in school. Yeah. So as parents, we had to walk the talk. Whatever our preferences, since we gave them the choice, we had to follow through. So that's how we ended up.
I really like what Charmaine, you mentioned, the desire was birthed off, or the consideration of homeschooling was birthed off, but both of you made it intentionally a family's choice. You laid it out very clearly, probably stated the pros and the cons and things to be considered about. And the children had a say in this. I think that's so important, especially in terms of decision-making within the family today. Here we are talking about homeschooling, but it could equally be about many other decisions in the family to involve the children in making the decisions. It was definitely not easy. I must admit, in the beginning of my parenting journey, when I sent my son for P1 and I look at him struggle with various issues, this thought of homeschooling did cross my mind. But then I look at all the challenges that I have to maneuver this, I have to maneuver B, C, D, and there are many considerations. Yeah. So maybe you could talk us through a little bit more. With all so many considerations in mind, how did you come to terms with this homeschooling decision? What were some things you have to reframe? Was it a mindset thing? Were there practical things you need to adjust? And maybe adjust as a family too, not just as parents, but maybe for Noah, your son, he had to adjust on certain matters too. Talk us a little bit through this.
I think definitely the most immediate concern will be finances. If one parent is to be the main homeschool teacher and therefore cannot work anymore, we are basically going from a dual income to single income. And there you have us resigning from full-time job, my husband. Yay, let's start a business, you know. So in a way, the pressures were compounded. The financial pressure was compounded. But I think for both of us, call it midlife crisis or whatever you will, there came a decision point in our lives where we had to decide, is this our moment to step out in faith to what we dream of doing, what we think is important, or is it a moment to just play safe and let our life pass by? Yeah, so for us, I mean, we counted the costs. There were unknown costs. I mean, you can never calculate everything, but we just ask ourselves that simple question, you know, at the end of our life, what do we want to cherish? What do we want to not have regrets about? And I think that helped us to bite the bullet. So in terms of adjustments, lifestyle was an adjustment. In the past, we used to eat out a lot. We used to take taxi and Grab everywhere. We would compensate for the hard work of the term by, you know, having a very extravagant holiday. Okay, I wouldn't say very extravagant, but we would, you know, wouldn't think twice about spending money during holiday periods. Of course, all of that had to scale down a lot. That's why the children's involvement in the decision is important. Because to them, it cannot be, oh, mama and papa have decided to start a business and homeschool you, and therefore now you cannot eat McDonald's so often. You know, that will not land well on them. It cannot be that they are paying for the parents' own desires to self-actualize, you know. So I think for us, that's why we had to involve them from the start, because there were very real changes that they would experience.
I think all that Charmaine said resonates, and I think if you ask me, I also don't know, but at the start when we decided to make all these decisions, everything happened at the same time. The decision to leave my job, and then her decision to leave her job, and the decision to homeschool.
I think the journey you've been through is very real. I think we all go through transitions in life, and these are probably decisions that you have made, you know, with full conviction, what is helpful for your child, and there are definitely sacrifices. I'm curious, you've been on this homeschooling journey with your daughter Joy for probably about a little bit 6 months or a little bit more. And based on what we've just heard from you for the last 10 minutes, you know, anyone would have looked at your situation and said, oh my, you're suffering. But I see the glow on your faces and I see the joy in your spirit, you know. I highly doubt so. I'm sure there have been highs and lows in this journey. How has it been for you so far in this 6 months journey of homeschooling, yeah?
Joy, her name itself, she really emanates joy. but also at the same time, extreme emotions in the other emotions as well. And I wouldn't say volatile, but I think through this homeschooling journey, it gives us the opportunity to help her through her raw emotions as it happens, rather than for all the stresses that she kind of put up when she's in school. Because I can't imagine having known about her dyslexia, having known about the learning difficulties, but to put myself in her shoes, going through the school, across the day of the school, and not recognizing everything and feeling that stress throughout the day, it really helps me to understand better the kind of emotions that she's showing at home when she came home from school back then. But I'm also quite heartened because she knows that home is a safe environment for her to show it all. But back then, we really didn't have much of an opportunity to help her through the process, because a lot of the emotions that she showed is like an aftermath of all the things that happened in school. It's very hard to process through because it has happened after some time. But with homeschooling, whenever, you know, certain things happen that led to certain emotions, we will give her that space to just walk through the emotions first. Then it gives us that space to, in a sense, process with her what happened. And then we can see that for subsequent occurrences, you can see changes. You can see the way she's learning to cope better, and you can see how much happier she is also as a person. So one phrase that I've been using with her time and time again this season, whenever I see her, you know, the artwork that she's drawing, and then can you imagine she likes writing a lot. Like yesterday, Charmin showed me an essay that she wrote. I mean, even though there are still some words with some of the letters here and there, but I can't imagine that happened in the past. I just came on telling her, wow, Joy, you've been blossoming. It's such a joy to see you blossom these days. Can only attribute to the time, the intentional time that was put in to spend time with her through this homeschooling process.
So yeah, the time that has been blessed in this season, that kind of safe space that has been crafted for her. And of course, the presence on the home front that made her feel safe as well. What's your thoughts too, Charmin? Because you are the one that is spending the most time on the home front with your daughter and doing the homeschooling. How has it been?
Yeah, so I have the benefit of reflection time while listening to Galvin speak earlier. And I think if you ask us why we have this joy on our faces, you know, even though it may look like suffering, I think it's really time and attention. We have time and attention for ourselves. We have time and attention for the children. And all that time really came because of a conscious decision to make space. I think what happens to us in Singapore culture or any other first world industrialized society is that when our children enter schooling and when we ourselves are already engaged in work, there are many demands coming at us all the time. And when children enter school, there are even more demands coming from their circumstance, their tests, their competitions, their homework, their CCA, you know, so many demands coming all the time. And as a hardworking, well-meaning individual, you are going to try to meet everything. The demands at work, your responsibilities as a friend, as a family member, your responsibilities as a parent. And as a responsible parent, you will help your children meet the responsibilities that they have. So what happens is that over time, you are just, you know, that game Diner Dash where the diner comes in and you have to feed that customer before they get angry. I think many of us go through life that way. And when we are going through life that way, there's no safety. There's no time. There's no attention. So for us, I mean, there are many ways that you can make space. But for us, the decision to homeschool one of the children created time and space for us. If I can just give one anecdote, many times we do not have time for Noah in the morning. So in the past, as you can imagine, if I am focused on trying to get Joy to school on time and she's having difficulty with the uniform or having difficulty waking up, you can imagine that for Noah, there's really no time or no attention on him in the morning. And you also notice that we may not have said anything about struggles with Noah, because basically from the time he entered primary one, he caught on really quickly. He would be awake by himself, brush teeth, in uniform, ready to go in 5 minutes. As he got older, from the time he was nine, he can even travel to school on his own. When Joy entered primary school, a lot of our attention in the morning is on Joy. And Noah really got used to just handling himself in the morning. So now with the homeschooling situation, I have all the mornings with Noah. I actually wake up with him. We have time to take the bus together. And that time is purely his time. He knows that there are no other distractions. If there's anything he needs for the day, anything on his mind, he knows that there is a dedicated space in the family schedule just for him and for me. So I think while there are many benefits of homeschooling for Joy, ultimately there are many benefits for our family as a whole. Just that intentional decision to push back against the demands that were placed on us. And as a family, where can you draw your boundary? What choices are available in order to do what you need to do?
I feel like what both of you have just brought us through about the intentionality to craft out time, space, and bringing your presence to your children rightfully applies beyond just the homeschooling situation you're facing. And I think all parents who are listening in should take deep consideration. I mean, even I myself, I'm thinking through, how can I create intentionally that, craft out that time and space and my presence with the kids amidst life's busyness? Working parents, and you come back home, there are chores, there are homework, there are many structural things to be concerned about. But yet, how do we make time, make space for our children so that we can care for their social, emotional, mental well-being in that aspect?
Yeah, and if I may just jump in here, one unfortunate thing that may happen is the better the children cope, the less attention they get from us. So that is something that we were mindful of, and we felt that just because the child is not demanding our attention because they are not performing according to what is expected, it doesn't mean that we don't give them time.
So this is a important reminder for all the parents listening in, you know, just because our children seem to be okay, they seem not to be struggling, doesn't mean that we don't check in on them, we don't spend intentional time with them. You know, with time and space and presence, I think that's ever more so important in a very complex and complicated world that we live in right now that challenges us and our families on probably basic things like values. You know, so but when we make space and time and give them our presence, that's when we can educate them, we can nurture them in accordance to the values that we want to impart to our children as well. Well, we started off talking about homeschooling, but we have narrowed and funneled down in our conversation to talk about the intentionality to build that space and that time on the home front to deepen emotional connections with our children. And with that, of course, our children are probably in their more relaxed frame of mind to be able to be real with what they're going through and what they're facing as well. And as I hear both of you share, it seems like your relationship with each other has really been stronger, been deepened as well. And I think this is a very important sharing that we want to give out to all our parents who are listening into this podcast, because that intentionality that we make, it comes on the backdrop of many sacrifices of time, maybe even career progressions and that. But the return on investments, I'd always say, you know, is something that you'll feel that it is very worth it to see a child who is comfortable to sharing, a child who made a level of progress. I like what Charmaine, you mentioned, that while we talk a lot about Joy, your daughter who is homeschooled, but yet Noah is not neglected. There is still time for him that you can be with him and to grow together with him as well. So on that note, really, thank you so much. As we wrap up today's podcast, I would like to give each of you the last words, some encouragement to parents who are listening into our podcast. It may not be about homeschooling, but just parents who are going through the daily so-called quote-unquote grind of parenting, you know. Yeah, share with them some wisdom as we close off this podcast.
I'll go back to the greatest quote in parenting. The best gift that you can give to your children is to love your spouse. When we focus so much on spending time with your children, I think it's important to spend time with spouses as well. And it's something that we learned the hard way. I mean, not that we know what to do, but because there were so many changes going on in our lives, sometimes it became very blur. Yeah, but we are thankful to have mentors walking with us as well to help us to realize that, hey, actually, you need to spend time with your spouse as husband and wife. I need to spend time with Charmaine as business partners too. And they have to be separate, you know. If not, you just end up talking about everything at the same time. And you need to spend time to talk about parenting matters elsewhere too. That means we plan different meetings for different purposes, but the gist is really to spend time.
For me, I really just want to send a word of encouragement out to every parent who is having a difficult moment with their child. I just want to say that we all know that whatever you do, even if it makes your child unhappy, you are doing it because you love them and you want the best for them. And I just want to affirm you for that. But one thing that I have learned in decisions that we have made is that I have to face my own fears. I have to acknowledge the reasons why do I want my child to do a certain thing. Is it because I'm worried or I fear something that will happen to them? I need to take time to acknowledge that and own my own fear, address it. Maybe talk it out in the presence of trusted friends or mentors. I need to deal with my fear on my own so that it doesn't become my child's problem. So as a parent, you know, we need to take care of ourselves so that we can be there for our children and really create that safe space for them to then talk about themselves and not have to deal with us. It's really good job. Well done. We are all doing our best, the best that we can for our children, no matter how it looks like to outsiders. We all know that it's because we love our children. That's why we do the things that we do. And second, we can all be better. We can all find friends. We can all find mentors. We can all talk and just reach out or learn more. And we will be better for the sake of our families and our children.
Indeed, parenting is never a lonely journey. I once heard a quote that parenting is a walk in the park, you know, Jurassic Park. You know, and it's rightfully so because in this park, there are so many scares, surprises, you know. And what's more important is that in this journey through this parenting park that we go through, we do it together. We have mentors, friends who have journeyed ahead of us to guide us along. But more importantly, as both Charmaine and Galvin have rightfully said so, family decisions. They hold hand in hand and journey through the parenting journey with their children as well. So to all of us listeners, I hope you've been encouraged. While we may talk about homeschooling, but I hope you caught the essence of their sharing, which talks a lot about the intentionality of time and space and their presence, which we all can, and I believe, can afford to do more and to do better in the midst of a very busy world that we are hustling and bustling in as well. So thank you, Charmaine and Galvin, for being with us today. Really appreciate your sharing.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
So for all listeners, if you would like to have more knowledge and be equipped with parenting resources, do head over to our website at family.org.sg/subscribe. And if this episode today resonates with you, hit follow to stay connected. Leave us a review or share with a friend or your community. So that's all from us today. Do keep tuning in to the Parenet podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey.